From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Just sprinting into the studio, so I may be a little bit out of breath. Well, coming up, Barack Obama is hitting the campaign trail, and no one should be happier than Republicans. The former president stepped back into the spotlight last Friday and picked up where he left off on his attack on conservatives and Christians, which, by the way, was a reminder of why Americans elected Donald Trump almost 2 years ago. Charles Hurt, opinion editor and a columnist for the Washington Times, will be here in just a moment to unpack Obama's familiar talking points. And as I said, I just returned from a meeting of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, where we had our annual or monthly meeting today. Among the many areas of concern, we discussed the reports of the Chinese government that they're destroying crosses, burning Bibles, closing down churches, and forcing Christian believers to sign papers renouncing their faith. Travis Weber, Vice President of Policy at the Family Research Council, will join us with the shocking details in just a moment. Also, all across the nation, school is back in full swing, and so are the attacks on traditional American values. What should you do about it? Well, Kathy Ruth, Senior Fellow of Legal Studies here at the Family Research Council, has the answer in a new column that she has just written, and it's been published. She'll be here with an answer a little later on Washington Watch. And then on this Monday afternoon, we'll be taking your phone call. So get ready for that. Coming up next week will be the Values Voter Summit, starting next weekend. To find out more about how you can be a part of it, it is filling up fast, but as I can see, we still have a few seats available. Begins September the 21st, 22nd, 23rd. Some very special guests will be there. Sign up now. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. Also, be sure and download the latest tool for your activist toolkit. That's the Stand Firm app. You can go to TonyPerkins.com or just go to the App Store. Download the Stand Firm app. Gives you action items on legislation, other policy issues, so that you can take action to make a difference. Our republic, it's not a spectator sport. To preserve it, it requires all of us to be participants. So get the Stand Firm app. Stand firm for the truth. All right, last week, Friday, former President Barack Obama surfaced again, unleashing his talking points in an effort to elect Democrats. Among his top target, you guessed it, conservatives and evangelicals. Here's a clip. We're going to play the first clip of what he had to say last week.
That even if you don't agree with me or Democrats on policy, even if you believe in more libertarian economic theories, even if you are an evangelical and our position on certain social issues is a bridge too far, even if you think my assessment of immigration is mistaken and the Democrats aren't serious enough about immigration enforcement, I'm here to tell you that you should still be concerned with our current course and should still want to see a restoration of honesty and decency and lawfulness in our government.
All right, so let me get this straight. The president, whose reign included an attorney general who was held in contempt of Congress for Fast and Furious and documents related to that, an administration that refused to enforce federal law, misled Congress and the American public with meaningless executive orders that advanced the pro-abortion agenda, wants to lecture evangelicals on lawfulness? I don't know, that's like Judas lecturing Matthew on proper accounting principles. Right, in an op-ed in the Washington Times, Charles Hurt says the speech came just in time to remind America why voters elected Donald Trump president 2 years ago. Joining us now is Charles Hurt, opinion editor and a columnist for the Washington Times. Charles, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Good to be with you.
So you think that the president, former President Obama, is going to help Republicans because they're reminding the American public why they ran into the arms of Donald Trump?
Yeah, there are a few figures more that do a better job of unifying the Republican Party than Barack Obama, and not just the Republican Party, but sort of conservatives at large. And I thought that your introduction right there, playing those clips of it, it was just spot on. But I mean, the list, your list is so truncated of the dishonesty and the indecency and the lawlessness of his administration. You could have gone on for 30 minutes listing all the things that they did, whether it was his moves on immigration after telling people for 6 years that making the moves that he wound up making was completely outside of his powers to do it, his dismissal, his disregard for lawfully passed legislation. And then one of the most egregious things was what he did with Obamacare. After Obamacare passed, when he couldn't get Congress to do anything to fix problems, he would just go in there and mess with everything himself. And all of that was extra constitutional.
Well, and of course, the famous line, if you like your doctor, you can keep it.
Right.
How did that work out?
The biggest lie of all.
I mean, how did what really got me, though, I would have not paid a whole lot of attention to his speech.
You and the rest of America.
Well, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't. I mean, I really don't. I mean, look, I had to put up with that for 8 years, and we pushed back on. I mean, he said, you know, if evangelicals think our social policy was a bridge too far, it was beyond the bridge. Right. I mean, he was trying to walk on water with that, and he doesn't make it. But the reality is that had he not challenged this administration in saying that, you know, evangelicals are supporting lawlessness. I mean, this guy, if I have to say, you look up lawlessness, I would think in the dictionary in the picture would be of the Obama administration. Everything they did was practically lawless. And so for all of the stuff that he could pick an issue with this president and this administration and evangelicals in particular, because he called us out on this, is lawlessness. So this guy, this past administration, the Obama administration, I mean, that was their trademark.
And remember the whole line, that whole line that he had about, I've got a pen and a phone. Well, that's basically what he was basically boasting that, oh yeah, if I can't get anything through, then I can just make it up. I can just use a pen and a phone to make it all up. And that was another thing that I found sort of astonishing, is that he chides President Trump at one point for not reaching across the aisle and not building consensus. Well, my goodness, I've been covering this town for almost 20 years now, and I can tell you, I have never seen a president more incapable of working across the aisle, more reticent to try to build consensus than President Obama. If you look at what he got through, and this is why he had to do so much stuff that was outside the constitutional process, is because he was incapable of getting Republicans and oftentimes incapable of getting his own Democrats to go along with some of his crazy schemes.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, Charles Hurt, my guest. And Charles, what caught my eye about your piece is that I agree with you, and from the standpoint of you said that this is reminding Americans why they elected Donald Trump. See, my argument all along has been that Donald Trump's success was based upon Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton's success in pushing their radical agenda. They forced evangelicals and conservatives who were, skeptical, to say the least, of Donald Trump. They forced them into his arms because they scared them so much with their radical policies.
I think that's exactly right. I'm always hearing these people, and of course, they're never people who deep down care about the things that evangelicals care about, but they love to wag their finger at evangelicals and chide evangelicals for supporting a guy like Donald Trump, and they can point to all these reasons why Donald Trump is not an evangelical and all this kind of stuff. And it really is, it's sort of a sinister thing that they do. But of course, you're exactly right. The reason that people people got run into his arms, and they got run into his arms exactly by those policies you're talking about, but also by that rhetoric from a guy like Obama.
Yes, right. And Hillary promised to ramp it up. I mean, she promised to accelerate it. And honestly, the reason that Donald Trump and his administration has retained that support that was reluctant at first is because he's actually done something that few politicians at this level have ever done, and that is he's actually done what he promised to do.
And we can debate, have a healthy debate about how much success he's had and how much, and certainly, he's a politician, so sometimes he claims victory in places where there's not the victory we would like to see. But there's one thing, Tony, that I would say that is different about this guy than any other politician I've ever seen, and that is this. He may not win everything. He may not be getting everything that we want, but from the day he got elected, he has worked feverishly to get done everything he promised in the campaign. Most politicians completely turn inside out the second they win an election, and they walk away from everything that they campaigned on. Not this guy.
I've seen that
many
times.
He picked it up on day one.
Let me play another. I got another clip for you. I want to play this clip, clip number 6 of Barack Obama last Friday, and I'll get your response to it, Charles.
So neither party has had a monopoly on wisdom. Neither party has been exclusively responsible for us going backwards instead of forwards. But I have to say this, because sometimes we hear, a plague on both your houses. Over the past few decades, wasn't true when Jim Edgar was a governor here in Illinois, or Jim Thompson was governor. Got a lot of good Republican friends here in Illinois. But over the past few decades, the politics of division and resentment and paranoia has unfortunately found a home in the Republican Party.
So because we didn't agree with his policies and because we're concerned about what his policies have done to the nation, we're paranoid?
Yeah. And this reminds me of back in 2008 when President Obama ran, and I didn't agree with him on policy or anything like that, but he ran a very optimistic, promising, hopeful presidential campaign, and I wasn't surprised when he won. And after he won, there was part of me that was, thought that okay, well, there some good could come of this. He could actually get things done. And he failed to get anything done. And the reason is because he governed as someone who wanted to divide people and instill fear in people. And he's done that for his entire presidency.
Charles, thanks so much for joining us. Great piece. People can read it by going to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. Charles, thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks.
Charles Hurt to read his thoughts on the president's speech last Friday. Go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over. All right, when we come back, China increasing their persecution of religious minorities, including Christians, burning Bibles, tearing down crosses. Travis Weber is here next. Don't go away.
Are we moving in the right direction? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our country is headed. With so much at stake in America, do our leaders have a way forward? To find out, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C., and join hundreds of Americans that want to preserve and protect religious freedom, family values, and the sanctity of human life. Invited and confirmed speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Sam Brownback, Ben Carson, Kellyanne Conway, Mike Pompeo, Laura Ingraham, Oliver North, Dana Lash, Sean Hannity, Joel Rosenberg, Todd Starnes, and Mark Levin. Meet values voters like yourself that share a Christian worldview on issues. Through the main events, networking in the exhibit hall, breakouts, movie premieres, and meet and greets with our speakers. On September 21st to 23rd, be a part of the movement to pray, vote, and stand for the sake of America. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you happen to be on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. All right, as I mentioned earlier today, our monthly meeting of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. And, you know, despite the gains we're making here in the United States under the current administration, where we're seeing somewhat of a revival of the First Amendment, you know, the freedom of religion, still a long way to go, but we're seeing a lot of repair done from the previous administration's policies. And, of course, the international gathering of leaders here in July for the ministerial on the advancement of religious freedom. A lot of good things happening, but we're continuing to see places like China cracking down on religious freedom. In fact, in the last few days, they are putting a full court press against Christians, destroying crosses, burning Bibles, closing churches, and forcing Christian believers to sign papers renouncing their faith as the crackdown on religious congregations in Beijing and several provinces intensify. Now, in part, this is because they're fearful of the spiritual revival that is taking place in places like China. With us now is Travis Weber, the Vice President of Policy at the Family Research Council and oversees our Center for Religious Freedom. Travis, welcome back.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, what do we know about what's happening in China?
Yeah, I think, you know, the best way to characterize this and think about it is the management of religion. The authorities in China, the Communist Party-run system, going back nearly 100 years now, is afraid of things which threaten its power. Religion is one of those things which threatens the power of the party, threatens the power of the government, threatens the power of those leaders who rely on this system to perpetuate their power and control over the citizens. So they're managing religion, they're managing Christianity and other religions, and this is really, I think, an outbreak against what they see and they're fearful of, the manifestation of the growth of Christianity in their country. And they're lashing out at it with this latest outbreak of the burning of Bibles, shuttering of churches, et cetera. It's not the first time it's been done, but it's the latest iteration, and it's consistent with the way they've dealt with religion previously.
I mean, it is a new level of intensity that we're seeing. You know, it pops up from time to time, but there's this dormant, you know, kind of hostility toward religion. Now, they do have the official recognized state churches, but they're contained. what they're concerned about are these evangelical-type churches that are actually seeing people convert to Christ that are having an impact on society.
Yeah, this is really a lesson in the importance of defining religious freedom, right? Because if you define it as China defines it, you could say, well, we have religious freedom. It's defined by them as consistent with their country's ideology.
Well, it's kind of like the freedom of worship. They have these you can go to a state-sanctioned church and have a worship service, can you not?
You can go to a state-approved church and have a service, but you go to anything not state-approved, you have problems.
And this, living according to your faith could run at cross-purposes with the state.
It can, if you're doing it in a way that threatens the government. You know, so really—
Well, let's be clear about threatening the government. These are not people who are taking up arms or even involved politically against the state. They just have a higher allegiance than the Communist Party.
That's exactly right. So China is saying, we're going to define religion for you in a way that you can practice it if it threatens our power. Real religious freedom is allowing people to fulfill their obligations to God independent of the way that religion interacts with the state. Of course, separately, you have legitimate concerns about the ability of a country to order itself, legitimate security concerns. We're not talking about those. We're talking about things that simply threaten the current rulers.
Ideology. Now, but what's interesting about China that we have seen in the past really few decades, where they've actually recognized the benefits of Christianity and they've tried to replicate the positive effects of Christianity upon the workforce in certain areas.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. I think China would do well here to really take note of the positive effect that true religious freedom has for society, security, economic growth, true religious freedom, not as they're currently defining
right.
it, but true religious freedom. If they really want security and growth, they need to accept true religious freedom. There's no other way.
And when you look at these Christian churches, Travis, we see this around the world. There's probably not a more docile and supportive element of society than believers. I mean, because they're required, they're called upon by their faith to pray for those in authority, whether they agree with them or not. Now, of course, in a democracy, they have the right to vote. But these are not people who pose a threat to the government from a standpoint of overthrowing it.
No. You know, what you have is the Chinese government claiming there's a threat. You don't have Christians rising up in some way that matches what the Chinese government is claiming. So they want to maintain control. This is a way for them to try to do that. It's consistent with what we've seen when they earlier this year they released a white paper saying we're going to define religion and religious freedom here, and it really is consistent with this management of religion. So this is just another step consistent with that approach.
So what is the United States government doing?
Well, the U.S. has been designating China as a country of particular concern going back to 1999, right after the International Religious Freedom Act of 1998, designating it as a CPC, prohibiting crime control equipment as a follow-on sanction of sorts. They need to continue to do that and continue to pressure the Chinese government over their failure to uphold religious freedom.
Well, that's interesting because the State Department within the next week or so will be releasing their list of countries of particular concern. And so with this latest action of China, no doubt that they will continue to be a country of great concern.
We need to continue to hold them to that and continue to hold them to standards and consequences if they fail to protect religious freedom.
Because it has implications far and wide, as you pointed out to you. It has economic factors related to it. It has issues related to security. I mean, every country would be wise to pursue true religious freedom. Travis Weber, as always, great to have you on the program.
Thank you, Tony.
And we're going to take a deeper look at this tomorrow. I think we're going to have Congressman Chris Smith of New Jersey going to be on to talk about what else our government can do to protect those believers and other religious minorities that are being persecuted for their faith. All right, when we come back, school is in session, not here, but all across America as kids are back in the classrooms. What's happening in those classrooms? Well, Kathy Roos, senior fellow here at the FRC, joins us next. Don't go away.
feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Again, let me remind you, coming up September the 21st, all right, 10 days away. Well, actually, 11 days, but you need to be here early. Values Voter Summit here in Washington, D.C. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, as we've reported before here on Washington Watch, levels of liberal indoctrination have reached all-time highs in our nation's public schools. Our government schools are systematically attacking the traditional American values that really gave America the opportunity to be great. Everything from sex education to attacks on Christianity, students face social justice brainwashing more than learning the basics of, like math, reading, writing, English, you name it. With us now is Kathy Roos, author of the latest column that she has published, Get Your Kids Out of Government Schools Right Now, published in The Stream. She's a senior fellow of legal studies here at the Family Research Council. Kathy, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
All right. You are sounding the alarm. This is not just something to say, all right, we got a problem. You're saying this problem is acute and you need to do something about it.
Right. And the I'm writing in the Stream column is about a new book. The authors are Mary Rice Hassan and Teresa Farnan. And their book, Get Out Now, is kind of what I've been trying to say for the last couple of years. But actually, I haven't really had the guts to make this the centerpiece of what I've been saying on the threat of public schools. And that is just, you got to get out. These authors conclude that you must take your kids up now, that it is impossible to correct the wrongs within the lifetime of your children in public schools. In other words, it's not a hopeless situation. We can save the public schools, but we can't save them within the time frame that our kids, if you've got kids in schools now, they won't be saved in time. And so save the souls of your kids while we're trying to save the public schools, but it's not going to happen that fast. And so they say you got to take them out now.
I agree. We should not sacrifice our kids to try to save the schools. We can save the schools another way. We can have parents run for school boards. We can be a part of elections. But we cannot afford to allow our kids. Explain once again. I know you've been on there many times. We've talked about this many, many times. But I don't think we can talk about it enough. The dangers of these government schools. What's happening in the classroom?
Well, you can judge a tree by its fruit. And so what we are seeing, the fruit of government schools today, is that kids are coming out thinking the worst possible things about America, being ashamed to be Americans. They're coming out with a lost faith and a new embrace of progressive ideology, and they're coming out not even knowing if they're male or female. And this is all because the education bureaucrats, not the good rank-and-file teachers, of whom there are many, but the top-down education bureaucrats, have turned public education into a political indoctrination system. And so consider the fact that for 13 years, your children, most of their waking hours are spent with a group of people at these government schools. These are tremendously impressionable times on the part of growing kids. And if they are being indoctrinated into, you know, hate America first, into this radical transgender ideology, and in being embarrassed or being mortified about their faith in God and in Christ, which we have some examples about in this book, then they're going to come out after 13 years being indoctrinated. They're not going to know up from down or right from wrong, and that's what we're seeing. It's a tragic thing, and it's different than it used to be when we were in school. I went to public schools. People who went to public schools might think, well, we survived. Oh, it's a very different world today.
So, Kathy, parents listening out there saying, okay, yeah, I get it. There's problems. What are my options?
Well, and that's, I guess, why I've been a little shy about saying, get them out, get them out, get them out, because I know people feel stuck. You know, not everybody can afford expensive private schools, expensive religious schools. These are all expensive. And public schools should be for everyone. They are meant to be for everyone. And so in a sense, it kind of feels like you're abandoning, you know, you're walking away from something. But I have to say, especially after reading this book, I agree with the authors. The options really are trying to find affordable private solutions or homeschooling. Now, let me say just a word about homeschooling. Of course, homeschooling requires the logistics and the financial wherewithal where you can have a parent who is at least largely home, and many families feel they can't do that. But what I will say about homeschooling as an option is that over the last decade or two, homeschooling co-ops around the country have developed into such really comprehensive systems that I urge people to take a second look at homeschooling. It's not like you were when you were kids.
Yeah, there are a lot of resources out there. Kathy Roos, as always, great to have you on, and appreciate your continued interest in education. So
thank you,
Tony.
Thank you.
All right, to see Kathy's piece, go to TonyPerkins.com. You can follow the links over. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to take your phone calls. I want to know, is it time to take the kids out of the public schools and then work to salvage our public school system in this country and the attack on our values? That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
Are we moving in the right direction? If you're like me, you care a lot about where our country is headed. With so much at stake in America, do our leaders have a way forward? To find out, mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C., and join hundreds of Americans that want to preserve and protect religious freedom, family values, and the sanctity of human life. Invited and confirmed speakers include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Sam Brownback, Ben Carson, Kellyanne Conway, Mike Pompeo, Laura Ingraham, Oliver North, Dana Lash, Sean Hannity, Joel Rosenberg, Todd Starnes, and Mark Levin. Meet values voters like yourself that share a Christian worldview on issues. Through the main events, networking in the exhibit hall, breakouts, movie premieres, and meet and greets with our speakers. On September 21st to 23rd, be a part of the movement to pray, vote, and stand for the sake of America. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the technology policy program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for joining us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, the phone number, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Is it time? Is it time to pull kids, our kids, out of the public school system? We were just talking with Kathy Roos, who wrote a piece that's on the stream regarding a new book that is out, telling parents to get their kids out of school, out of the public schools, because of the consistent attack on the traditional values, American values, attacking America, attacking Christianity, creating gender confusion, and the options, private schools, homeschooling. Is it time? All right, we're going to go to the phones, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Al in Arkansas. Al, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, hi, Tony. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for the work that you all do.
Well, thank you.
We are grandparents now, and I worked at a Christian school. My wife taught at one for a number of years, and we brought our curriculum home and homeschooled them until they graduated and went off. We went to a very conservative church. And a lot of people thought that just having those certain ideals, A plus B, was going to give you the result C. And we still saw a lot of negative things take place in a lot of the people that were in that venue. But all that said, the public school is just accessible, and I don't see how a Christian parent would not want to try to do all they could to change their lifestyle or whatever it takes to get a mother home or whatever to be able to do some homeschooling. But at the same time, not to forget the responsibility it is on our shoulders as parents to mentor our children and not think that the right book for the right school, the right teacher is going to do it. And also that those children are going to grow up and be independent on their own. At some point, they're going to have to make decisions on their own with God, you know. But I appreciate the homeschool movement has improved so much since we were there. We were back in the dark ages, you know, and there's so much variety and support there, and even though maybe in some churches. But I would definitely say, you just got to get them kids in a Christian environment, and the public school is not teaching them anything that's Christian.
Al, thanks for the call. I agree with you. For those that listen to the program, and I frequently talk about education, you know that we homeschooled our kids. My wife did. I was the principal. I did the Bible. She did all the other things. Been great. Five kids. We still have got two that she is teaching. Reluctantly went to homeschooling. In fact, we were not planning on it. I was familiar with homeschooling, but it was not something we felt, this is back in the 90s, 20 years ago, thought that it was a little different. But Al's right. The resources available now, the co-ops that Kathy made reference to, are in abundance. And there's a lot of support out there. And, you know, it gives you so much flexibility and freedom, and you teach your kids constantly. Life becomes the classroom. And I want to go to this book that, Kathy was making reference to. Her article was based upon this book by Mary Rice Hassan and Teresa Farnan, entitled Get Out Now, Why You Should Pull Your Kids from Public School Before It's Too Late. And one of the teachers they profile in this is a professor out in California, James Corbett. Now, I actually wrote about Corbett in peripherally in my book, No Fear, because one of the students that I profiled was a student that was the target of Corbett's attacks for his Christian faith. And you could read, the story of that I detail of this young man who stood up to Corbett, his relentless attacks on Christian faith. And this was one of those advanced courses he had to take. This teacher, Corbett, just kind of made a hobby out of attacking Christian students. And our kids, I want them prepared when they go out into the world to be able to defend their faith. But really, as they're learning in elementary, secondary school, should they be subjected to those types of attacks? And that's what's happening. As Kathy said, public school's not what it was back when many of us were in the public school system. All right, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Grant in Missouri. Grant, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for having me. So I kind of just wanted to talk a little bit about that. So I went to public school when I was a kid. I was a former public school teacher. But actually, we had for a while planned to homeschool our kids. One thing we've kind of changed our minds a little bit on that, and definitely not because things have gotten better with the public school system. But one thing I do think is really important is I do see a problem a lot with when these kids go and are homeschooled or aren't within the public realm when they're under the influence of their parents. Sometimes they can miss out on a big part of growth in their faith, and that they're not seeing some of those challenges and those exposures while they're under the parents' roof. Because I know as a public school teacher, there were a lot of things that I could say, even good things, to those students. But if at home that wasn't being reinforced, that wasn't going to change most kids' minds. And so I think there's a lot to be said for if you're doing the things that you are called the scripture to do as far as raising your kid up in the way that they should go, that there can be a lot of value to sending them to a secular place where as long as you're involved in your kids' lives and talking to them about those things.
Well, I definitely think that can be done. You're going to have to spend a lot of your time kind of deprogramming your kids based upon what they've been taught. And it depends on the teacher. I'm glad that, Grant, you were a teacher. And I have said this before, and I'll be very, very clear here. I don't think we should abandon the public schools. I just don't think we should use our kids to try to save the schools. We as adults should be teachers. We should support young people who want to go into education as missionaries into that environment. We need to have people run for school boards and make sure that the curriculum is not hostile to faith and to values that made this country great. So, but parents ultimately have to, and you're saying this, and I just want to summarize it. Parents ultimately have to realize that it is their God-given responsibility to educate and train up their children. They can delegate the authority, but they can never delegate the responsibility.
Yeah, I think one thing that's important too is knowing your kid. Because I know there's my older boy right now. I think public school is a better option for him. But another kid who's easily influenced or is going to be in that nature, I wouldn't want to send that kid to public school, knowing that he's, you know, because in those 5 years when you're before they go off to school, you learn a lot about your kid and their personality,
yeah,
tendencies.
Right.
I think you can judge a lot there, but yeah.
Sure. Every kid is different. That's a part about being a parent. You know that, and you can adjust the course accordingly. Grant, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your input there. Let's go to Wichita, Kansas, where Lydia is on the line. Lydia, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you. I was just going to say I am an elementary school teacher in Wichita, and I feel like that's part of my calling is to bring Christ into the public schools. However, personally, I would never put any of my kids in the public schools, and I'm in the Midwest just because of the things I see going on. And while I do think kids need to be prepared to defend their faith, it's just like training soldiers. You don't send them into the battlefield before they're trained. You train them up first. So that's
yes.
just my take, my opinion, and then I'll hang up and let you respond if you want. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you, Lydia, for calling in, and thank you for answering the call. I do think that God calls people into various walks of life, including education. And I am grateful for those Christians, those believers who feel a call to the mission field of our public schools to bring the light of Christ into a dark environment. And I know some on the left that listen to say, oh, you just want people to cram the Bible down kids' throat. No, I want them to be a source of encouragement. When you see so many young people, and Lydia, and if you were still on, you could attest to this, even in elementary school, because I've spoken to many, many teachers. Kids come, they're hungry, they're ill-equipped, they're improperly dressed, because oftentimes they don't have parents who really care about them. And so that teacher figure can be such an influential role in their lives just by caring and loving them and encouraging them and challenging them and looking for the possibilities that are there. So absolutely, we need more Christians going into education. We need more Christians being on school boards to back up those teachers who are in the classroom. But as Lydia just said, we don't need to send our children in to save the schools. All right, let's go to Karen in Abilene, Texas. Karen, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate you bringing this up, and I just, I'm a much older homeschool mom. I'm almost 60 years old, but I used to teach in inner city schools in San Antonio in the 80s, and I determined right then that my children, when I had them, they would never be in public school, because I could see even in the 80s how the tide was changing in, you know, the public schools. So my decision was we couldn't afford. When I finally had children, we couldn't afford private schools or Christian schools, so I bit the bullet, and I wanted to homeschool. I shouldn't say that. I bite the bullet, but I didn't have any support, and we were in different communities. We moved around Texas. I had support, and then we moved to Abilene, and there was, like, no support here, so at that time. But I would encourage anyone that wants to homeschool that they really, if their church doesn't have something up, they should approach their church. And I did that at one town we were in, and it worked wonderful because there were lots of mothers that were just like me, and they wanted to homeschool, but they didn't know how they could do it. The co-ops have come so far, and I used to have to do all my own curriculums, my lesson plans, everything. Now with the Internet, it's just amazing. It's
yeah.
just amazing what people can get. And when
it
I
is.
I would, my main thing is that, you know, not only just because I hear this a lot, well, we just want to preach in the Bible. It's like, no, but we want our kids knowing our history. We want them knowing their government. We want them know how to read. So I think that's a big point for me. And thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely, Karen. Thanks for listening and for calling in. All right, we're going to work in a couple more calls here. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Charles in Missouri. Charles, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
Oh, I'm not too bad. I was just wanting to say that I'm 25 years old, and I was in the school system not too long ago. And just from my amount of time outside of it, it's ridiculous. Like, I go to, faith-believing church, and, you know, the kids are really confused because we do food every Wednesday for them, and we bring in kids outside of church, you know. And like you were saying earlier, that, you know, their parents don't really care about them. They're not willing to teach them. And it's not just that, but, like, when I was in school, people were making fun of the, you know, Pledge of Allegiance. We were barely doing it, like, almost once a month, and people were just not giving a crap for it. So,
Well, it has steadily gone down. And again, it's the attack on the values, the attack on faith in particular. And I get the point of those saying we need to make sure that we have a light in that dark arena. And I get that. It just shouldn't be our children that are forced to hold up that light in that in that increasingly dark place. Charles, thanks so much for the
call.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Daniel in Baton Rouge. Daniel, welcome to Washington Watch.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good.
Yes, my question is, how do I go about enrolling our kids? I mean, what do I do? Just not enroll them in public school? And what do I do?
All right, Daniel, good question. And let me answer it, because it's actually different in every jurisdiction. Now, I happen to know Louisiana because I was involved in the legislature there and a lot of the laws pertaining to homeschooling. It's the parents' right. And in some jurisdictions, it's a little more challenging, but you have a right as a parent to educate your child. Now, you have to file with the state just to let them know that you are – you don't have to get their permission. You just tell them, I'm homeschooling my kids. Because what happens – and this is why the public schools have been – have fought parents so much, is because the dollars follow the student. And so when a parent removes their child from the public school system, depending on the jurisdiction that you're in, the state you're in, that could be $10,000 annually that school no longer gets. That's last number I saw in Louisiana is roughly $10,000-$12,000 per student. That money goes away, and that's why they fight it so fiercely. Daniel, thanks so much for the call. Folks, out of time, but we're going to revisit this topic because it's an extremely important one. Sorry we didn't get to the rest of the calls. Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow. I hope you will as well. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.